The Hatchcast is brought to you by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. The Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation empowers students to learn through action by providing campus-wide programs, courses, and resources to test ideas, foster an entrepreneurial mindset, develop empathy, and create new ventures. Learn more at eship.msu.edu.
Are we done?
Sure. Was that the intro?
No, I don't know.
Okay. What did you want to talk about?
I just wanted to
the
say,
guest?
Like, hey, welcome back.
So what are we recording right now?
So
this is the pre-ramble to the next ramble, which we call segments.
Yes.
Is it grape and berry?
That's a good question.
I'm assuming. Enjoy the show, guys. We've got Josh Cooper, CEO and founder of Scoop Digital, and Brendan Wong, founder and CEO of Capnos.
Welcome back to the Hatchcast. We have with us Josh Cooper, the founder and CEO of Scoop. What's going on, buddy?
It's great to be here, man.
You finished out last year pretty strong.
We did. I think given the circumstances, the whole year was a relatively solid one for Scoop.
For those that don't know, we've been posting on our channels and Scoop's been posting on their channel. They got third place at AWS pitch competition. Talk us through that. Like, how did you get into that? What was the pitching like?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, I was just really surprised to learn more about how committed Amazon is to startups just as a whole. It makes sense when you kind of look at it from a more macro perspective, especially with their Amazon Web Services division. The idea that you can build a kind of arsenal of resources that really helps a startup from inception through growth through scale makes a lot of sense for Amazon. And so I think what they want to see is startups building their softwares and their products on AWS from day one. And the goal for them is to see those startups, you know, evolve out of the startup zone and more into the, you know, growth and mature company zone. And I think there's a lot of really good use cases like Airbnb, you know, those guys started on it really, really young. And so they want more of that. And so I think just I want to preface everything with, they've got a lot of resources for startups as a whole. And that was really cool to kind of learn about. But as far as the competition goes, the Hatch put it on our radar. We found out about the competition kind of from the Michigan State ecosystem. We didn't quite realize how competitive it was. It wasn't until we actually made it into the top 10. Where we learned that more than 1,000 startups applied.
Wow.
So,
and that was it all digital platform or was it any companies?
No, it was any company. And actually, just learning about these other 10 startups was like, whoa, are we really good? Or like, did we just sneak in here?
Yeah.
Or like, how are we supposed to be in this room? The best way I could put it is like, when you get into that top 10, we're laser focused on winning, but at the end of the day, it's like, man, to lose to any of these companies would just be an honor.
You still feel validated despite, you know, maybe you don't get first, maybe you don't get top three, but just being there in that moment. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, we definitely play to win. Don't get me wrong, but just being there was super cool. And all the founders, those top 10 founders we're all in a Slack group chat, and these guys are just going back and forth saying, man, we should all work on a side project together.
Yeah,
what do
there
we
go.
Do? Do we do space? Do we do AI? Do we do autonomous vehicles? So it's just cool to be a part of that community.
I think it's just a credit to you and your team. You know, you guys are working your butts off, really. Where are some of the more unique places you guys have put signage?
Well, definitely bike taxis. We were the first people in the world to really successfully do that. There's a lot of complexity around there. How do you power the TV? Do you use a TV? Do you use an LED? How does it perform in the elements outside? How do you not shatter a screen?
Yeah.
So all that good stuff is like fun to figure out. And that's a rather unique format. I don't think it's so much about the uniqueness of where the screen is. We pretty much know where most of those are going to be. Bus shelters, on sides of buildings, in subway stations, in airports and malls. The question that really excites us at Scoop is, how do we use digital signage in a way that is really unique mm-hmm. that we've never done before. How do we kind of like foster community through digital signage? What can we do with predictive analytics to cater more effective content to people? Actually content that they want to see and mm-hmm. that they're interested in engaging with. And then engagement. How do we reinvent the way that people interact with digital screens around them? Billboards are pretty 2D today. You kind of see it. It's like, cool, I saw it. Now I'm going to leave and walk past it. How do we reinvent the experience and the way that you engage and interact with that digital screen in your community, whether it's in the mall or in the bus shelter or on the subway, et cetera? So that those types of unique use cases is what excites us the most.
What can we see or expect from you guys in 2021?
We're going to be launching our full-scale product Scoop Signage in actually a few days here. We're live in beta right now. And so what you'll see from Scoop is, number one, you're going to start to see Scoop Signage powering a lot more screens in a lot of different areas. A couple markets that we've touched on here, we will be powering more screens on bike taxis in cities across America. We will be powering screens in like parking structures, in airports, in malls, in municipal type settings. We're also starting to power more screens on digital billboards. But what you can really see as a byproduct of people using Scoop signage is we're going to decrease the amount of time that it takes an advertiser to actually launch an ad onto an out-of-home digital billboard by literally more than a month. And so today, the industry standard is it actually takes about 6 weeks to decide, wow. pick a billboard, negotiate the rates, get the artwork up there, and actually be live with the billboard. And it's just way too long.
Yeah,
it's just way too long.
Well, I guess like the biggest thing is now you can help with promotional deals, right?
Sure.
Somebody's like, hey, we're doing 10% off this whole week. You know, they can't wait 6 weeks to do that. No. It makes no sense.
Absolutely. Business just simply moves too fast.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the reasons why we've seen it. I mean, the digital ad world is going to be a $300 billion industry wow. this year. Billboards will not. And there's a reason why digital is exploding mm-hmm. because suddenly you've armed a local florist or a local ice cream shop with the tools that they need to reach a billion people today.
Yeah.
This afternoon.
Yeah.
And so that just doesn't exist in the out-of-home advertising world, and it needs to. Mm-hmm. And Scoop wants to play a very avid role in making that normal, making mm-hmm. that the kind of the industry standard. And so that's going to be one thing that you're going to start to see speed up. Definitely over the next couple of years. Another thing that you're going to start to see more of is the idea that we're pioneering, which we call billboard e-commerce. Billboards should be able to be bought and sold online. End of the story. Mm-hmm. This is a simple one for us. This is something that we're mind-boggled that hasn't.
What really, is it right now? It's all call-in, bunch
it's
of
like
messy
kind
paperwork.
Of buying a car. It's a very high touch point sale. You know, you want to negotiate, you want to test drive it, you want to pick the color, you want to pick the interior. And billboards just don't have that many options. You're not going to change the height of the billboard. That's fixed. You're not going to change the size of it most of the time. And so there's really no reason why it needs to be so high touch point of a sale. And I really do believe a lot of these old school billboard companies, they're going to kind of shoot themselves in the foot
mm-hmm.
because they're not listening to their customers, mm-hmm. which is a really big problem. Advertisers don't want to spend 6 weeks deciding what billboard. They made the decision before they even started talking to you.
Yeah.
They know, I'm telling you, I want to buy a billboard on I-75.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that. So find me the best billboard. Give me the rates and let's go.
Yeah.
So this whole idea that we got to go back and forth and negotiate and you got to wait for somebody to come off of it, while in the meantime, the billboard owner is kind of shopping your offer around to other advertisers to see if he can get somebody to outbid you, it's inefficient and it can be so much better. And so you will see those three things from Scoop in 2021. More screens in the world being powered by Scoop signage is number one. Number two, the time that it actually takes to upload and get your message live, we will speed that up. Number three, the idea of kind of reinventing the process and the way that we go about buying out of home media will change. We're going to make that much more digital. And when we do all of those things, we start to unlock the real future that Scoop is really going after, which is kind of this ability to use this connected network of screens to enhance community and make consumers more informed about what's around them. Also, engagement and transparency. Today, advertisers don't really have much insights into how well their out-of-home advertising campaign performed. We want to change that.
Yeah.
We want to help them understand exactly how effective it was or how ineffective it was. And then if it wasn't effective, we want to be able to provide next steps and best practices for changing that and making it more effective. And so kind of those three things are not the end all be all for us. Those are kind of like the ante to play to be able to start doing the things that we really want to be doing 3, 4, 5, 10 years out.
That, I mean, that's kind of crazy to me. I didn't realize how many flaws and how behind that industry really was, you know, and seeing you guys, you know, tackle that. I think it's exciting. Like, the possibilities you can do with the ad space is kind of endless, right? So the last thing I want to touch on is for you personally. Mm-hmm. What did you learn in 2020 and what are you kind of excited to get into here in 2021?
I don't necessarily think there is anything that we didn't know before that we know now. What we did know before that we may have not really applied much weight or value to, I'll give you a personal example and then I'll get more into the business. I was at the gym today and I was holding dumbbells and on my third set doing bicep curls, I started to get really weak and I was about to put them down and I literally said to myself, wait, because tomorrow this gym might close for 8 months and you might not be able to pick up these dumbbells for 8 months. So I was like, all right, I'm pushing through it. Mm-hmm. So I think the lesson there applies directly to business in the sense that your world can change not tomorrow, later today.
Yeah.
And it can literally take a flip upside down 180. The industry that you were just going after just shut down. Yeah. Your whole business model has to change. And those are times when you go back to the fundamentals. We knew team is really important before 2020. We knew focusing on product is really important before 2020. And we knew making sure that we're talking to our users about what they want out of our product is really important before 2020. Those things became infinitely more important. You cannot quantify how much more important those things are today than they were prior to COVID.
Yeah.
We would not have been able to survive COVID if we didn't have a really good team that's really determined and really focused. And so I think for us, the lesson is invest in those things, invest in team, invest back in making the product better, invest in making the user experience better. Those are the types of things that we care a lot more about. And again, not that we didn't care about them before, but we care a lot more about them today. And we're going to continue to care a lot about those things into 2021.
Well, Josh, I know everybody here at the Burgess Institute, we're all behind you and your team. You guys are doing a great job, and just thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Hatchcast is supported by Spartan Pride. Spartan Pride is the first LGBTQ+ Broad registered student organization focused on the support and development of undergraduate and graduate students. Spartan Pride provides networking opportunities, promotes a safe and supportive environment, and facilitates professional development focused on LGBTQ+ representation and awareness. Find out more at broodspartanpride.com.
Today I sit down with Brendan Wong. You may notice his name. He's been on a couple times in the past. He's had a lot of success this past year. Brendan, how have you been? Just going through everything.
Pretty well. I just made some tacos right before this, so getting to take care of my mental and physical health has been a big priority for me.
What sort of like techniques or things have you incorporated in your life to kind of focus on that and you know, have a good, stable mental health?
A lot of it comes from planning out my weeks. ahead of time is I'll take some time to sit down and figure out in this week ahead, when am I going to commit to working out, to working on the business while managing all my school obligations and being able to find the right mix between personal care, business care, and other aspects has led to me being able to find that groove for myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you find, you know, taking that time to work out is the one of the biggest kind of focus times for you to just reset and have that divide between work and school and all the different things?
It's definitely a big part of it is finding time for my passions as well as those that fit my purpose. As of recently, I started to take up snowboarding, which I've started to become a huge fan of because I get to just be in this state in which I think of nothing else except for the present moment. That is something that I found to be something that I try to incorporate into my life is to just enjoy the moments as they are and not always be, you know, constantly thinking about the next thing or the mm-hmm. next steps and the next project.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I think for me, I'm, you know, feeling those same things. This year has been kind of a time to take moments to be in the moment, right? Just taking a step back, like you said, skiing, whatever you're doing, outdoors is huge. Just take that time, take it in. So where have you been snowboarding at? I just got back from Boyne last week skiing. But yeah, where have you been shredding at?
The place I've been to most has been Caberfay.
Okay.
Up in Cadillac.
Yep.
They have a great college student discount, by the way. Recently, I went to Ostego and also Pine Knob.
So let's shift and let's talk about Capnos a little bit. You guys have had some pretty good success this past year. You won a couple pitch competitions, correct?
Yep. The Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization, we won $7,000 from that. And then the Global Student Entrepreneurship Awards through the Entrepreneurship Organization led us to a $5,000 reward.
Well, and what have those allowed you to do? Are you guys putting that into marketing or manufacturing? Where's that focus at?
The funding from these competitions and from what we've raised have gone primarily toward manufacturing expenses. And my approach through starting Capnos has always been to be as lean and efficient as possible with funding, which is always leading us to think, well, how can we market the zero without directly paying for advertisements? What can we do differently without incurring lots of expenses right up front? So that's been something that I've tried to adopt, which is also a reason why we're not particularly trying to raise through VC funding and just bootstrap as much as we can.
Are you manufacturing currently and we'll start releasing them, or you finished the prototype?
Yeah. So we just started the tooling process.
Okay.
And we're estimating that around March, mid to late March, we can start creating our first order and start fulfilling orders in April.
Wow. Okay, cool. So for anybody that hasn't heard of Capnos, do you want to just break down what your product is and how it works?
At Capnos, we're trying to prevent lung diseases and hopefully save lives with a better, cleaner alternative to vaping. As someone who's struggled with vaping for over 5 years, I've noticed that for many of us, vaping has become a behavioral habit rather than just a physiological habit to nicotine. We've developed a dependency on hitting something for the act of that or to just have something in our mouth or hands. So that's what the Capnos Zero does. There's a valve that pops open, which allows for deeper breaths of air. So there's still that full hit satisfaction, all while having zero smoke, zero nicotine, and zero charge. It's only flavored air that's going in the user, and it's already helped people quit vaping by 50% in the first week. It's helped those who went through a Juul pod a day go down to one a week, and it's even helped people quit all entirely.
What flavors do you guys have?
Right now, we have mint as our primary flavor, and we are due to launch in a variety of like strawberry, mango, and other ones in the later months.
You've had tons of success on the pitch competition trail. You have a physical product now. How has that Ian Gray scholarship factored into that and helped you?
Beyond just a financial standpoint, it really empowers me as a student founder to see the level of recognition from the university in granting me with this award. You know, it's been super tough trying to get through school as a Broad student in the supply chain program where it's highly competitive and trying to get the best corporate jobs and, you know, getting the best grades, being in the best student groups. But by carving my own path as a student entrepreneur, I've had to make lots of risks to forego those things in pursuit of my purpose, which is to help people live happier, healthier lives with a cleaner, greener planet. By being granted this award, it's just allowed me to feel the recognition just for the work that I'm currently doing. But it's also been a huge support financially because I'm not being paid through Capnos. A lot of this right now is just all the time I'm putting in. It's delayed gratification and knowing that that's to come later on. But it surely does help right now.
You kind of get that that validation, right? You started your company here at the university, and now the university is kind of recognizing, hey, this is a student that's going above and beyond. He's balancing all these things, and his company, you know, is still successful. He's still good in the classroom. And that's kind of what shows through being the recipient of that scholarship, is being recognized as, you know, he's balancing all things very well. So did you do Burgess New Venture Challenge last year?
I did. And quite frankly, we were a runner-up team, so we didn't make it to the top three last year. But taking all things into consideration, when the BNVC went on last year in, I believe it was
You guys
March,
were young. I mean, you,
oh,
was
sure.
Really young company.
Yeah, we didn't even have what the production model we had today. We actually had a non-functioning model. So, you know, these past few months, we've been primarily focused on building the product and in building the business.
Did you apply again this year?
I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys will be at the top, I can imagine. The deadline to apply for that, I think, is what, February 1st? What was the biggest takeaway from being involved in that? Obviously, you didn't leave there with any money, but what other things did you experience there? What did you learn that really helped propel you to where you are now?
So last year, given that it was a virtual format, it definitely had its own downfalls. But I remember explicitly the first Burgess New Venture Challenge that I attended 2 years ago, held at the Wharton Center, where Scoop had taken the first place. You know, Demi Young as well, with Zonder, I believe she was third, and some other student startups there were able to showcase their companies. And I thought that was the coolest thing, because here I am as a freshman, after starting my first business as a senior in high school, I knew that I wanted to take Boca Bands, my previous startup, and build that up, which, you know, that ended up fizzling out. But being able to see all these student founders with real products or in software that are built up, and I mean, that was a huge inspiration to me, and that it was in that moment I knew I had to get involved with the entrepreneurial ecosystem. I had to learn from these people if I wanted to become a better founder myself. And following that, it's always just been in my mind, and I started attending more events and being involved more with the community.
Yeah. What's next for you guys? What are you looking forward to here in this new year, and what can we expect from Capnos? Obviously, you're going to be releasing the product, but what else?
From a Capnos standpoint, that's our primary focus, is just getting it to market. In April, when we launch in East Lansing, we will be in Hannah's Market, as well as the 7-Eleven locations under the Hub and the one right by Barrios, and also Jonah's. So we're going to have the Capnos Zero on store shelves then. So that's definitely something that we're most anticipating. But in the meantime, we're undergoing lots of planning and being able to figure out, you know, here are the next steps in order to reach our larger goals and our end goal of eventually being acquired.
So that's what I was going to ask, is how that works. So you're just going to be in convenience stores?
Not necessarily. So we have four primary channels. The direct to consumer, you know, we're still going to be fulfilling orders through our Shopify store and shipping them out. We have pre-orders across four different countries right now, so we still have yet to figure out all the logistics there. But beyond that, we're going to be in convenience stores, retail stores, as well as partnering with various QIP programs or even physicians' offices.
Okay, now what about for you? What are you looking forward to personally? You said you've had this, you know, this growth in the past year. Is there any other areas that you're going to try and focus and hone in on?
So for me, my current focus is just being able to find my grooves. That is going to bed routinely, waking up routinely, having a solid, you know, diet, physical activity, and just being to what I perceive as having a sense of peak performance.
Yeah. I feel like that's almost a common theme in entrepreneurs. Like, you know, if you start your own company and you're a founder and doing all these things, you're obviously a very driven individual, right? You're focused. Like I said, you're driven and there's a little bit of competitive spirit in that, I guess, could be others, but with yourself, right? You're constantly trying to focus and be a little bit better. How can I tweak things? How can I be more efficient? And it's really fun to watch and hear the stories of people that, you know, do that. We thank you for coming on, telling us a little bit about what Capnos is going to have coming forward. Like I said, he's the Ian Gray scholarship recipient, and hopefully we're going to see you at the Burgess New Venture Challenge.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time as well.
Thank you.
The Burgess New Venture Challenge promotes entrepreneurship, leadership, and innovation at Michigan State University. The competition identifies strong Spartan startups, provides mentorship and team development workshops, and culminates in a year-end showcase event. This virtual event launches April 1st, 2021. Find out more at eship.msu.edu/BurgessNVC.
I'm Tiana West, and this segment is to let you know all about the Burgess and Entrepreneurship events happening each week. Our first Innovate State of the Year is happening on Tuesday, January 26th with Julian Posada, founder and president at Lift Up Enterprises. Innovate State features Spartan entrepreneurs, innovators, and disruptors to join our community for a fireside chat. In these 60-minute interviews, guests share their perspectives on everything from business to family life, the hard knocks of the hustle to maintaining work-life balance. These are stories of success, stories of failure, and stories of uncommon will. To learn more and register, visit eship.msu.edu/innovate-state. Our first spring East Lansing Startup Weekend is happening on February 5th and 6th, and registration closes next Wednesday. Don't forget to register and submit your idea to join. East Lansing Startup Weekend is where students can bring or help develop an idea into a scalable venture in just 30 hours. We host a multitude of workshops, access to local and alumni mentors from around the nation, and provide you with resources you need to help you along the way. This year, we're giving away cash prizes, so you really don't want to miss out. Register at eship.msu.edu/startup-weekend. That's all we have for this week. We hope that you enjoyed the start of classes and wish you all a prosperous semester. Remember to stay safe and mask up. You can learn even more about upcoming events at eship.msu.edu/calendar. Enjoy your weekend.
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration.
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration.
This podcast was co-created by Aaron Richard, Tyler Mihai,
and Kurt Krieger.
It is produced by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation
in cooperation with the MSU Foundation.
Gabe Hales and Justice Keech are our sound engineers and
editors. Our co-producers include Brandon Weaver,
Gabe Hales,
Justice Keech, and Aaron Richard.
Original sound is created by Katya Gardina
with help from Aubrey Haas,
Brandon Weaver,
Caitlin Setter,
Sydney Owinga,
Kurt Krieger, Tyler Mihai,
Gabriella Alum,
Jeff Smith,
Paul Jakes,
Ken Smusiak,
Desiree Melfi-Bozzo,
Neil Kane,
and Lori Fisher.
If you have any questions or comments, please
feel free to reach out at
hatchcast@msu.edu.
hatchcast@msu.edu.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.